May the words of my mouth and may the meditation of all our hearts and minds be acceptable and pleasing to you, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. I want to tell you a story about a young pastor, and I tell you this is not my story, this is not about me. I'll pick on somebody else for a change. But there was a young pastor by the name of Pastor Peel, who was going into his first church, which was a small little country church. And he headed in there the first Sunday, and he got up and he led worship and he preached and he did everything. And he was kind of looking and going, there's something not right about this congregation. Something strange going on here. So he came back the next Sunday and he led worship and he preached, and he kind of got that same feeling, like something just wasn't right. And so going into the third Sunday, he thought, you know, I know what the Lord wants me to do here. I know what I'm supposed to preach. And so he gets up and he starts to lead worship, and he gets to the sermon, and he gives this great sermon on loving one another and how we're called to love one another, and just this great and heartfelt sermon about how we love one another. Did you catch it was about loving one another? Okay. And so he finishes the worship service and he heads to the back door like he's supposed to do to greet people, and people are coming through in the usual, all right, good morning, Pastor. Thank you for that great message, Pastor. We'll see you next Sunday, Pastor. And then Mrs. Lloyd comes through. Well, Pastor, that was a great sermon, because there's certain people in this church that really needed to hear that one. Pastor Peel thought that was kind of a strange response and wasn't sure exactly what that was. And so she heads out, and not too many people behind her comes Mrs. Mayweather. Mrs. Mayweather comes through and she goes, huh, I heard what that was. I think people definitely need to hear what that sermon was. And again, he was kind of taken aback. Okay, and she heads out until the last person comes through, and just Mr. Humble is left in the sanctuary. And he's picking up the hymn books and putting them away and picking up the bulletins that were left in there. And he goes up to the pastor and he goes, well, I heard the responses of Mrs. Lloyd and Mrs. Mayweather. Welcome to the feud of this church, Lloyd versus Mayweather. And he goes, is that what that was? He goes, yeah, haven't you noticed? One side of the church is Mrs. Lloyd and her congregation, and the other side of the church is Miss Mayweather and her congregation. And the pastor looked at him and he said, well, how long has this been going on? He goes, oh, they've been in competition with each other since they were in grade school. It's always been this way. And he goes, well, pastor asks, well, why hasn't somebody done something about this? And he goes, there's no change in those ladies. Pastors have tried, believe me. And he said, well, there's got to be a way. Well, God bless you, pastor, if you can figure out what it is. And so out the door, Mr. Humboldt went. Oh, and he made to mention that he was the one that handed out all the hymnals in the bulletin, because nobody from one side would ever think to serve the other side. And so that was his job in the church, was to hand everything out. Well, the pastor began to stew on this, and what was he going to do about this feuding church? What was he going to do about this division that he knew just couldn't continue? And so a couple days into the week, he went over to Mrs. Lloyd's house and he knocked on the door, and she was so excited to see him and invited him in. And she said, I just baked some oatmeal cookies. Come on and let's put some weight on you. Because no church ever thinks they need to put weight on their pastor, right? So he comes and he sits down and begins to compliment her cookies. Oh, these are delicious cookies. You're quite the baker. I hear Miss Mayweather, she could bake pretty well too. Mrs. Lloyd was a little taken aback. Well, yeah, I guess she is a good baker. I guess so. Finished his visit, and that afternoon he showed up at Miss Mayweather's house and knocked on her door and was invited in, and she brought him in and made some, invited him to have some muffins that she had baked. He goes, you know what? Mrs. Lloyd was right. You are a good baker. Mrs. Lloyd, oh yeah, just this morning I was having cookies at her house and she told me you were a good baker. Well, she did? Well, I guess she's got a pretty light hand at the pastries herself, I guess. Oh yeah, that's very nice. Next day he showed up at Mrs. Lloyd's house, and here she had a fresh baked lemon meringue pie that she served him. Oh, Miss Mayweather was right. You are very good with pastries, Miss Lloyd. she said that about me. Yes, she did say that about you. Now, I heard that Miss Mayweather, I heard that she was quite the singer in her day. Miss Lloyd responds, well, you know, she did have quite a nice voice when she used to sing in the choir. And can you see what was going on as he went back and forth? And what do you know, but the next Sunday, you could see the two ladies talking. And the Sunday after that, it was seen of them walking into worship arm in arm and sitting together. Mr. Humboldt came up to the pastor and he said, blessed are the peacemakers. And the pastor said, amen. You see, he could see that division couldn't stand in the church, because as long as they were a divided congregation, that they couldn't fulfill their mission of being the church. And that it had to come at the hands of those two leaders joining together in one mission for the church to be able to move forward. But Pastor Peel is not the first to have seen that. We see it very early on in the church. Go back to the first generations of the church, and we see that problem being addressed in the Corinthian letters. Bible study's been working on these letters this week and looking at them. And here Paul was going around and planting churches, and he would plant a church and start it up, and then he would hand it off for somebody to continue the work so he could go plant another church. That was his job, go and plant the seeds and start it and then hand it off to somebody else. And then he would write letters and sermons to encourage them and kind of guide them in ways that they were struggling. Well, none struggled as much as that church in Corinth. They were at each other's throats half the times by the way that you read these letters that Paul wrote. The divisions in it were just killing that church. And one of the divisions that you see right at the beginning of the first letter to the Corinthians were how people were proclaiming that they were in the church. Because there were those that were some of the originals that came to the church and they said, we're Paul's congregation. We're Paul's people. But then there were some that had come later, and the gentleman that had taken over for him there was Apollos. And there were some that say, well, we're Apollos' congregation. We belong to Apollos. He's our pastor. And there was this jealousy and hatred that was happening within this congregation, in this proclamation of whose they were. And so in 1 Corinthians, in the third chapter, Paul addresses this. Whose are they? Are they Paul's or are they Apollos? And Paul says, for when one says, I follow Paul, and another, I follow Apollos, are you not mere human beings? What, after all, is Apollos? And what is Paul? Only servants through whom you came to believe, as the Lord has assigned to each his task. I planted the seed, Apollos watered it, but God is making it grow. So neither the one who plants nor the one who waters is anything, but only God who makes things grow. The one who plants and the one who waters has but one purpose, and they will each be rewarded according to their own labor. For we are co-workers in God's service, and you are God's field, God's building. I love that right at the end. I love that image when Paul brings it home, that we are co-workers in God. And isn't that exactly who we are as the church? Aren't we the co-workers in doing God's ministry and God's will here? I mean, that's what our scripture this morning was getting to. That is our scripture in Ecclesiastes, of saying we're not in this by ourselves. Right before the passage that Carmen read, it talks about a man laboring in his field, taking the whole thing on all by himself. It says he had no brothers, he had no sons, he had no one except his fields. And here he's toiling and he's built great worth. But he looks back and he sees there's nobody to join in the labor with him. But there's also nobody to join in the joy of what he's built. And he calls it all meaningless. And then the writer goes into this about the three cords. How sad it is to be alone. how sad it is to have no one to support you, how sad it is to have no one to be there with you. But he says we're stronger together. And isn't that the truth? Isn't that true? That we are strong in our own. We are strong men and women of God. But aren't we stronger when we have people around us, supporting us and loving us, being in this work of life that we have together? To be able to join in our times of grief, to be able to join in our times of joy. I mean, that goes right back to the beginning. God made Adam, and then he said, wait a second, he can't be alone. He needs a companion, and he makes Eve. And he says, you're better together. We are better together. We are better when we have a support system around us. It says in Ecclesiastes, when you fall, there's somebody to pick you up. When you need it, there's somebody to encourage you. There is somebody there when you're having your difficult times. Isn't that the way we're intended to live life? And isn't that the way we're intended to be the church? I mean, look at that image of the giving tree, okay? Let's think about a tree. Now let's think if a tree, okay, y'all have a picture of a tree in your head. Now imagine if that tree that you're thinking of only had one branch. It'd be a pretty pathetic looking tree, wouldn't it? I mean, imagine a tree, this great and mighty tree. I hope you were thinking of a great and mighty tree. Now what if that great and mighty tree only had one branch to grow leaves on? That it only had one branch to grow any fruit on? It'd be a pretty pathetic tree, wouldn't it? God didn't intend for trees to only have one branch. He intended from that trunk to sprout out branches in all directions, to fill with leaves, to fill with fruit, to fill with blossoms, to fill the space to create shade. I mean, this is how trees are intended to be. All of these branches working together to fulfill the mission of what that tree was called to be. Because yes, trees have callings just as much as us. Now we, as a church, are not intended to just have one branch. All of the work of this church cannot fall fully on the pastor, because that's a tree with one branch that can only reach so many. But when all of us become branches of this ministry, when we all become co-workers in it, we gain all of these branches to do the will of God. We gain all of these branches to be able to keep these buildings up, to be able to sing in the choir, because boy, we would be one pathetic tree if I had to sing for us every Sunday. Whew! Those who've sat next to me, they know the misery that would be. If we only had one branch, couldn't do all this work. And if it was only one branch, I would bet the majority of us would not be sitting here. Think about what Willie and Wiley said and the people of the congregation that they named that made the difference for them. The people that welcomed them and invited them, that shared life with them. This is us being the branches. This is us being this intimate group of people that are here to support one another, love one another, encourage one another, challenge one another, and to be able to work together for the will of God. Because what is Paul saying? There's no name attached. This isn't my church. I'm not allowed to claim that. I'd get in trouble by the bishop if I said, this is my church. This is the church that I serve. This is the church that I proudly serve because of the amazing people in it and the amazing ministry that happens here that's only possible because of all of the branches. That's only possible because of the hours and hours of work that go into making this happen. because of the love that people have for one another. To see the difficult times, to hear about people in this congregation walking 3 miles each way to visit another church member in the hospital, to hear about the cards and the meals, to hear about how each person is praying for other people, to hear about the phone calls of love and encouragement and support, to see the way that people give of each other for one another. And Paul said it's not about a human being. It's not your work or my work or our work, but it's God's work that happens here. It's God's work that happens within us. Praise the Lord that God did not create us to be islands, that God did not intend for us to be alone, but that he gave us one another and that we have each other for this journey. And praise the Lord that we are a tree that has room for so many more branches, so many more people to be able to walk through that door and to be welcomed and invited in, to be able to share a meal with us, to be able to understand how much God loves them, to be able to find the kind of love and support that brings us here each Sunday. I am proud to serve here. I am proud to be a branch of this tree, working with each one of you, doing God's work, and being his face in this community. My friends, will you pray with me? God, we give you thanks. We give you thanks for the person sitting on our right and the person sitting on our left, for the brothers and sisters in Christ that we have and that we get to be co-workers here on this earth, that we get to eat together, that we get to worship together, that we get to love one another together, that we don't have lines of division that has us sitting on one side or the other, but that we get to be the body of Christ. And Lord, that is just an amazing thing to be, that we are all working together, each with their piece of the work. But when all of those pieces add up together, a wonderful thing is happening. We give you thanks that it happens in your name, but we give you more thanks that it happens because you are in each of us and working through us. For all of this we lift in your holy and mighty name. Amen.